Hello, everyone. My name is Brian Sparks, and I'm the lead pastor at One Church in Texas. This is the One Church Podcast. Welcome, and thanks for tuning in. I pray that this message encourages you, and that in our time together, you encounter Jesus, and that your life will never be the same.
Pastor Brian's been in an incredible series called Who Am I? And God's been speaking to me every single week, and I pray that he's been speaking to you as well. And so today, I get the honor of just building upon what he's already done. And I was asking the Lord what he wanted to talk to us about, and I felt him lead me to Philippians chapter 3. We're going to be in 17 through 20. It says this, brethren and sisters, come on, brothers and sisters, all everybody, together follow my example and observe those who live by the pattern we gave you. For there are many of whom I have often told you and now tell you even with tears who live as enemies of the cross of Christ, rejecting and opposing his way of salvation, whose fate is destruction, whose God is their belly, their worldly appetite, their sensuality and vanity, and whose glory is in their shame, whose focus, their mind on earthly and temporal things. But we are different. Somebody say we're different. We are different. We're different. We're not like them. We're different. Paul says this, we are different because our citizenship is in heaven. And from there, we eagerly await the coming of the Savior of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're taking notes today, and I hope you are, because we have a saying here that paper never forgets. Can you title this, I am a citizen of heaven. I am a citizen of heaven. Can we pray as we continue our time together? Father, I thank you that through this series, that God, you're showing your people who they are, that the world's trying to define us. God, everybody's looking around to figure out who they are. But God, I thank you that, Lord, the declaration over this house is that we are different, that God, we're citizens of the kingdom. We're citizens of heaven. So Holy Spirit, open our ears that we might hear what that difference is. Soften our hearts for the seed of the word of God. We thank you every personal be changed in Jesus' name. And every person who believed it said, amen, amen. You know, it's interesting when you go to other countries, you know, every country is different. And I've had the ability to go and see lots of different places. And recently, last year, I was traveling, and in my traveling, they had told me that I had to be to the airport 4 hours early. And I travel quite a bit. I frequent airports a lot. You know, it's bad that sometimes with TSA people, you're like, what's up? How's your kids? How's your mom and them? Like, you know what I mean? And, but I get a rush on getting to the flight, like just before they close the door. I love that. It's kind of an exhilarating feeling. It's like a challenge I have of like how close I can cut it. Some people do drugs. I just barely show up on time for my flight. That's my adrenaline rush. I love it. And so I was traveling to this other country, and some friends of mine that were traveling, they said, Crystal, I'm just letting you know you have to get there 4 hours early. I said, I'm not getting there 4 hours early. And they're like, you have to get there 4 hours early. I was like, that is so stupid. Who gets to an airport 4 hours early? And they're like, you have to. And I was like, okay, what kind of process is this? They're like, it's like nothing that you've ever done before. And I was like, okay. So I get in line. I'm 4 hours early. I was obedient because I'm an obedient sister. Amen. And so I get in line, and I all of a sudden begin to realize why it takes 4 hours. You have to have an interview process before you can check in for your flight. And not, so I get the first interview, and they're asking me what other countries I'd been to. I had to show my passport. They flip through it. They interrogate me on what other people do I know in other nations? What affiliation do I have with them? Well, with a church like ours, where you're supporting all kinds of nations, I'm answering all kinds of questions. I'm like, yeah, well, there's people in this country that we have that are preaching the gospel. That's why I know them. And they're asking all these things. Who do I know on the flight? How long have I known them? Do we have business relationship? I was like, what kind of process is this? And so I get done, and I thought, okay, great. I'm through. I'm done. He goes, now you go for your next interview. I was like, what? So then I go to interview number two, and then he gives me a ticket. And I thought, oh, wow, this is like my golden ticket. I'm done. He goes, go down this hallway. You're going to see a door. Knock on the door. Wait till somebody answers. And I was like, what is this? And so I walk down the hallway. I knock on the door. Nobody answers. So I wait for a long time. Well, at this point, my flight is boarding. I got there 4 hours early. And I'm like, okay, well, I mean, I'm all for the game, but I don't know how long this game's going to go. And so I go to my gate and they go, no, you have to have your ticket stamped. So you have to go back to that door, knock on the door, wait for them to answer. So I do the same thing again, knock on the door. Then finally, this guy opens. He's in full military gear. He grabs my suitcase. Not, can I have your suitcase? Just grabs my suitcase. He unzips it, dumps out everything of my suitcase onto the table. He shuts the door, and it's just me and him in the room. I'm immediately feeling very uncomfortable, right? And to which I told him, excuse me, sir, I'm an American citizen. You don't have right to search all my things. And he said, you're not anymore. Excuse me? He said, the minute you checked in, you lost your rights. And so he goes through all my stuff. Finally, he deems that I'm fine and I don't have anything but tons of makeup and setting powders and everything else and shoes. And so he zips back up my bag. He gives it to me. I run. I get on the flight. And I say this to say, as I thought about this message, I thought about how it was in that process I learned that there is a certain point and there's certain places we go that our old rights and citizenship don't mean anything anymore. And it was in that moment I realized that although my feet were in one country and my citizen said another thing, it didn't matter anymore because the moment I checked into that process, I lost my old rights. And I think a lot of us, what we do, what we forget whenever we become Christians is that the minute you ascribe to this Christian living, that you lost your old rights. You lost your old way of living. You lost your old allegiances. You lost your old way of doing things. And you're now a part of a different kingdom. You're now a part of a different citizenship. You're no longer in that way of doing things. And Paul's letting them know there. He says, hey, you are now a citizen of heaven, that you have a new alliance. You have a new allegiance, and you're going to live according to that. And I think what's happened in our modern day secularized society is what we've done is Christianity is an addition to our life, and it's not our whole lives. So we give our life to Jesus. We call it giving our life to Jesus, but it's actually giving an hour of our week, maybe six times a year to Jesus. And then the rest of the time we live however we want. But the Bible says, no, you're now a citizen of heaven, meaning that you begin to live your life with that identity, with that alliance, with that allegiance. Because Paul's writing to them here. And I love this so much because he starts out and he says this, brothers and sisters together, follow my example. Follow my example and observe those who live by the pattern we gave you. Meaning upon salvation, Paul gave new believers a pattern to live their lives by. That part of being discipled means you don't live your life according to the old pattern of doing things. Can I just kind of mess with your theology for a second? Are you okay? You know the term, love your neighbor as you love yourself? We love that, right? Love your neighbor as you love yourself. Jesus said to love your neighbor as you love yourself. Do you know that he's quoting there Leviticus? And when we think of loving our neighbor as we love ourselves, we think about, well, I like make them cookies. I mow their yard. Well, in Leviticus, that Jesus is borrowing the language from Leviticus of love your neighbor as you love yourself. You know what that means? You hold them accountable for their sins as you yourself are holding yourself accountable for your own sins. But now in our modern day society, if somebody asks us to follow a pattern of godliness, we call it being religious. We call it being legalistic. Oh man, do you love me? But Paul says there's a pattern that he gave to them to follow, meaning that you don't get to be saved and just live however you want. But he says to walk after this pattern. But he says some of you are following people who are enemies of the cross. So in other words, they say they're Christians, but they don't live like it. And so I want to ask you, I want to tell you this, that I think from this text that we can get this is number one, whose example am I following? You're patterning your life after something. In fact, there's this whole movement of people who don't even have regular jobs anymore. They're social media influencers. And literally their only role is to persuade you into buying the things that they buy. And you know what? You keep adding to cart and buying now. Like, why? Because we're following a pattern of something. You're praying like the person that you emulate. you're living a holiness life according to the people that you're emulating. So who, I want to ask you, who are you following? Are they leading a life that's leading you closer to Christ or further away from him? Are they an example for you to follow that's making you get more in love with Jesus, or are you getting cold for Jesus? Are we okay? Let me ask you this question. Who's following you? Because all of you have somebody that's living their lives. They're patterning their life after you. You say that you're a Christian now. People are going to look to you and say, what does a Christian look like? And so they're watching how you pray. They're watching how you forgive. They're watching how you honor people in the workplace. They're watching how you conduct your everyday affairs. So I want to ask you this. If somebody followed you for 1 year, at the end of that year, would they be more in love with Jesus or would they be further away? At the end of that year, would they know what it looks like to pray? Would they know what it looks like to give? Would they know what it looks like to sacrifice? And Paul says here, you better be careful whose pattern you're following, because we're all following somebody. The question is the person we're following leading us closer to Christ? And the question I must ask myself is, as people follow me, am I leading them to Christ? So Paul lets us know here that these people that are following a negative example, they glory in their shame. Isn't it amazing how people glory in their sin? It's like we used to repent for our sin. Now we just post about it and hashtag it and make it a whole movement. He says that they're enemies of the cross. Galatians 1 would put it this way. If anyone comes to you preaching any other gospel than that which I preach, let him be accursed. He's saying there are people who say they are Christians, but their life's pattern is contradictory to that which they say they believe. Are we okay? And he says the end of it is destruction, and their God is their belly, meaning they live their life by whatever they desire. And I want to tell you that as Christians, we don't get to let our passions and our desires dictate our behavior. Because I am a citizen of the kingdom, it means this book defines my behavior. This book sets the bounds of what I should do next. So whenever we go to another country, there's a few things that I thought about in preparing this for our time together, because it's a shift whenever you show up to another place, right? And so I want to talk to you about those and what it means to us as far as believers. Number one is that we have now a kingdom currency. We have a kingdom currency. So whenever Brian and I traveled and we go places and we're in different countries, I'm always curious about the exchange rate. And the exchange rate can change every day. And so I'll have the app on my phone where I'm like putting in the euros and transferring it to American, or Aussie to American, or Canadian to American, or pesos to American. Y'all, are y'all following me? And so wherever I find myself, I'm always running numbers. But we were in Australia one time and we brought some cash with us and we decided to get it exchanged over into Australian money. And Australian money is different than American money. Like, their dollars or coins, and they don't have pennies, which I'm like, how do you live without pennies? Like, what is in your laundry without pennies in your junk drawer, right? Like, everybody has pennies everywhere. And so we got all this money. And so they would tell us how much we owe. And we would just put handfuls of coins in front of the cashier and just say, I don't know what it means. Just take whatever you want. We probably got ripped off so many times, honestly, because we had no idea if they were taking the right amount of money or the wrong. And then finally, we were at the end of our trip. And so we transferred our money from Aussie back to American. And the guy giving us our cash didn't understand American money. And I'm like, I get that. We don't understand your money, so we're great. And so he was counting out our money and we walked away and we realized he had given us $300 more than he was supposed to. And so we said, well, God bless us. And so we just went on. No, I'm just kidding. That's called stealing. Just by the way, be honest, amen. And so I went back and we were like, hey, actually, you gave us $300 extra. And the guy was like, thank you so much. I could have lost my job. Like, he was like, I didn't know that what the currency meant. And I was like, yeah, these are $100 bills. You gave us three extras. So here you go. And I say that to say, whenever you don't understand the currency, you're missing out on things and you're not even aware of it. You're missing out on things and you're not even aware of it. The moment you became a Christian, you're now linked to a kingdom currency. So I want you to consider this. What is the difference between the thief on the cross that was hanging next to Jesus And we know he got saved because Jesus said, today you'll be with me in paradise. What's the difference between him and the Christian that serves God for 50, 60, 70 years before they go into heaven? Both have entry into heaven. The difference between the thief on the cross and the person who's been saved 50, 60, 70 years is they had an opportunity to invest into the kingdom to receive a reward. The other person just got entry into heaven. When you get to heaven, listen to me, you will receive a reward for what you invested into the kingdom. That you will be weighed and tried according to your deeds of righteousness and what you have sown into the kingdom. So meaning my greatest value that I have in this lifetime is not my 401k. It's not my balance sheet. It's not all those things. It's not how profitable my company is. But what do I have in eternity? Matthew 6, 19 through 20 says this, do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy. This economy, it's shaky. Some days it's up, some days it's down. Some days you're gaining, sometimes you're losing. But it says here on this earth, thieves will break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves what? Treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. Here's the thing. Was the thief on the cross, did he get access into heaven? Yes, but there was no reward. And when I get to heaven, I don't know about y'all, but when I get to heaven, I want to see the reward of all the things I've been laying up with my acts of sacrifice, with my faithfulness in the area of giving, with the ways that I've served, the people that I've led to Christ. I want God to be able to take me in and say, here is your reward. I don't want to just make it like me on my flight, just making it right before they close the door to the flight. I don't want to make it like that. I want to get there and God to say, look at all the things that you now get to enjoy because of your faithfulness. So I want to ask you this. What's your balance sheet in the kingdom? Are you going to be like the thief on the cross? You made it into heaven, but you don't have a reward. Are you living this everyday life with a kingdom currency mindset that, God, I want to invest in what matters to you? I want to have something on the other side of this lifetime. Salvation is equal, but bank accounts in heaven exist and vary. Are we good? The next thing is a kingdom language. A kingdom language. Whenever you go to another nation, a lot of times you have a different language. And it's really bad. Whenever I was in Israel, I just go automatically into Spanish. Like, that's my solution for everything. So they started talking Hebrew to me. I just started talking Spanish to them. And they're like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm sorry. I autopilot, like, oh, we don't speak the same language. Spanish. When I was in France, they start speaking French to me. I'm like, Spanish. German, Spanish. Like, every time, that's like my ones. That's how I fix everything. In Italian, we were in Italy and I was like, oh, I'll order food. And I start speaking Spanish and they're looking at me like, what is this girl trying to say? But there's different languages, right? So when you go to another country, there's a language barrier. There's times whenever I go to countries that I'm looking at them and I know what they're saying is like really good, but I have no clue what you're trying to say. And so Google Translate is like my best friend. But even words that we use in English right here in America is different in Canada. It's different in the UK. It's different in other countries. Example would be when I say biscuit, what do you think of? You think of biscuit. Like, we're from the South, y'all. But side note, I went to this place. I went to New York in December and they said they were famous for biscuits. And I showed up there. I said, y'all ain't never been to a grandma's house in Texas. I was like, I could take y'all to some places. These people ain't cultured at all. They call this like good biscuits. Y'all don't know good biscuits. Give me somebody's grandma in a kitchen, been cooking all for years. I want that biscuit over that biscuit. Anyways, but when you think of a biscuit, you think of like sausage gravy over some biscuit. What's up? I love some biscuits and gravy. You think of like jelly. Come on. Where's strawberry people at? All right. Where's jelly? Where's grape jelly people at? Yeah, I know the grape jelly people because y'all food stamps only bought grape jelly back in the day. You weren't getting no strawberry jelly. That was rich folk jelly. Poor folk had grape. I had grape. I didn't even know there was strawberry. And then I got married. I was like, what are all these rich people doing? They have this? Like, I've only heard stories of this. Anyways, but we think of that, right? We think of that kind of biscuit. But in the UK, when they say biscuit, they mean cookie. So, but I'll just say this, no matter what country you go to, if they say, do you want a biscuit? The answer is yes. Amen. Whether it's flaky or it's a cookie. But there's all kinds of different ones. What about wagon? In the U.S., when we say wagon, we mean a wooden cart pulled by horses or a metal cart that like kids go in that you pull them through at the fair or something like that. But in Ireland, when they say wagon, it means an unpleasant woman. Very different connotation when you say you have a wagon. All right. Like one person's thinking, man, that girl is not good. And another person's thinking, oh, are we going to the fair with a wagon? Like very different meanings. But I say this to say, isn't it interesting how the same word can mean very different things depending upon where you're at? And I think in our society, what we did several years ago, it began in the 90s, is we began to decide that it's too controversial to talk about things like the blood, the resurrection, justification, sanctification, consecration. We're like, we don't want to talk about these words because they're too churchy. And so we'll take the blood out of songs. Look at how many songs don't ever mention the blood of Christ. Like we don't want to sing about it because it kind of feels weird. But here's the thing is that in Jewish culture for their children, they call it this, teaching them the language of Zion, meaning that those kids are learning from a young age the terms that the world would not know, but they're learning terms that ties them with their faith. And in learning those words, they have a different vocabulary. They talk different. They sound different. And so I want to tell you that our church, we're passionate about our kids knowing the language of Zion, knowing how to talk like what God talks about, and learning that our language should sound different. We should be different the way we live our lives. I love this in Acts chapter 4, verse 13. It says, now when the men of the Sanhedrin, the Jewish high court, saw the confidence and boldness of Peter and John and grasped the fact that they were uneducated, untrained, ordinary men. Meaning, here's the thing. People go, well, I don't have a degree. I can't do anything great. Here's the thing. As they said that they grasped, they were untrained, unlearned, ordinary men. God can use you with your untrained, ordinary, everyday. He wants to do something, right? But here's the part that begins to shake it up. It says, they were astounded and began to recognize that they had been with Jesus. You know what this culture is looking for is not more educated people. Because I'll just say our college society is doing terrible at leading people astray. They're indoctrinating them with all kinds of pagan theology. But we need a church that's teaching kids the language of Zion, that's teaching them how to worship, that's teaching them how to pray, to teaching them how to love God. And so I'll just say for our kids, we're teaching them the language of Zion back in those classrooms. We've got the best. Here's the thing, because you're following a pattern. It's whose pattern are you following? You know what your young person needs? They need to come into youth group on Wednesday night and see youth leaders that are set on fire for the things of God, that are worshiping with reckless abandon. They need to go back in our kids' classroom area and they're praying with other kids and they're laying hands and believing God for miracles, that they're learning the word of God, the language of Zion. And we already see it because we have it all the time. Teachers will email parents in our church and they'll say, there's something different about Ella. There's something different about Keegan. There's something different about Lily. I can just tell it on them when they come in the classroom. And what they're saying is this. Acts chapter 4. They're just ordinary kids. But man, I can tell they've been with Jesus. There should be the scent of heaven on our kids. There should be the scent of heaven on you. Because you're following a pattern. Whose pattern are you following? Your kids are following a pattern. Whose pattern are they following? That's why we do kids camp. That's why we do youth camp. Do you think we do this because we're like, oh, we don't have anything else to do? No, we do this because we're passionate about getting the next generation on fire for the things of God. And I'm a fan of immersion. So a friend of ours, he got called to another country and we asked him because the country didn't speak the language he knew. And we said, are you going to learn the language before you go? He said, no, I'm just going to show up. And I know in being there, I'll learn the language. And it was just a short amount of time that he knew the language and he even spoke it with their dialect. And then he began to a point where he no longer thought in English, but he thought in Spanish. And so he would answer in Spanish, even though he wanted to answer in English. Are y'all following me? And I'm trying to get something to you. Parallel it for me, if you will. He began to speak the language of Zion more than the language of the world. And so what we do at Kids Camp is we immerse your kids in the language of Zion, where worship becomes so normal, where devotion becomes so normal, where reading the Bible becomes so normal, by sacrifice looks so normal, by coming down to the altar with your face wet with tears looks so normal. It's just a normal thing to pray and see miracles. It's a normal thing to give my whole life to Jesus. That's why we do Kids Camp. I want to ask you, Are you giving your kids opportunities to be in a room where they can follow a pattern for something different than what this world has to offer? Because this world is leading them somewhere. And the Bible says they're enemies of the cross. I don't want them to follow the pattern of their friends. I don't want them to follow the pattern of the latest TikToker. I don't want them to follow that pattern. But if I don't give them a better pattern, that's the one they're going to follow. So I got to make sure that they're here on Wednesday nights. I got to make sure I'm checking them in every Sunday morning. I got to make it a priority, because here's the thing, is the school system's getting them for 40 hours a week. I can at least make sure that they're immersed in the presence of God for at least three of those 40 hours, that I'm getting them in a place where they can follow a different pattern. The next is kingdom politics, and I'm not going to ride this long, but I'll just say this. Jesus is not Republican. He is not Democrat. He's a king. And the minute you became a citizen of heaven, your Messiah, listen to me, is not the Democrat candidate, and it is not the Republican candidate. And there's a lot of people already, it's like a Messiah complex. If this person was president, they would change the world. They're not going to. They don't have the capacity to. They're just a man. We have a king. You are a part of the citizen of heaven. So that means I'm going to post more about the kingdom than I am about the election. I'm going to post more about my king than my candidate that I'm going to vote for. I'm going to post more. But here's the thing. As a lot of times people say, I'm American Christian. And whatever you put first shows what you idolize and make decisions out of. But I am a Christian American, meaning that I vote according to my Christian values. I post according to my Christian values, that I am alliance to, my alliance is to King Jesus first and foremost. And here's the thing, is that Jesus is king. He can't be voted in. He can't be voted out. He sits on a throne forever. Psalm 145 verse 13 says, your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom and your dominion endures throughout all generations. I want to encourage you. Here's the thing. No matter what happens in November, this house will be a united house. This house isn't going to demonize Democrats. This house isn't going to demonize Republicans. Why? Because we're first loyalty is to the kingdom of heaven. We are citizens of the kingdom. So yes, vote with conscience. Yes, vote with conviction. But don't be more loyal to a party than you are the king. Ah, getting it in you before you get all riled up in November. With your flags in your front yard and your yard signs and your t-shirts and your hats. You never post about what Jesus did, but you post everything about what your candidate can do. Come on. The Bible says this, some trust in chariots, but we trust in the name of the Lord. And I'm going to represent Christ way more than I represent a party. Thank you. Remember it in November. Amen. Please, God, help us, Jesus. The last thing is kingdom obligations. So as being an American citizen, here's the thing. I have my passport. You know, the ticket I told you about, this is my little reminder of my ticket that I had. Once it got stamped, they took it away. But I kept the sticker on the back because I want it to be a reminder to me that I lose my rights. Like the minute I started following Jesus, I lose my rights. This, even though it says that I'm property of the United States of America, I belong to that. I belong first to Christ. This doesn't define me. And so whenever we become a citizen of a country, you now have obligations to that country. And so I'm a weird person. I love to vote. I love Election Day. It's so patriotic to me. My great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather was one of the captains of one of the boats that founded America. He lost the hand to Pocahontas, John Standish. And so I with that, it's not really a great claim to fame when you're the loser of The Bachelor. But I love America. All my family was ex-military. Like, they served our nation. I don't understand this whole burning the flag thing. I don't understand not honoring the country that we live in. I'm a Christian nationalist. And so I love Election Day. I have a whole Election Day playlist, and it's full of Toby Keith and God Bless America. Bear, one day we're riding down the road. He's like, Mom, are we really listening to this right now? I'm like, yes. It's like, I'm proud to be in America. I'm like, it's Election Day, son. We're worshiping the Lord. Amen. As we go vote. But I say that to say, I'm excited when I get jury duty. Men gave their lives so you could serve on a jury. like they bled and died. They gave their life. I'm excited when I get the notice. I've had five in the last year. They love me. They're always hitting me up for jury duty. But I say that to say, when we became citizens of the kingdom, we now have an obligation to serve in our kingdom. We have an obligation to participate with what our King is doing. And last serve day, I told my team, we were out picking up trash. I said, isn't it interesting that in the world's currency, in the world system, the only people that pick up trash is if they're on probation or they're convicts. And I said, but in the kingdom's currency, we get to do this. We're doing it as an act of service. Why? Because we have a different obligation. We have serve day coming up. We rescheduled it because of the rain on May 18th. And I would challenge you, make it a thing like a family. Have a whole serve day playlist. Like you're playing as you're rolling up, like all songs about serving the Lord. Like as passionate as I am about excited about voting, I should be even more passionate about serving my King. Amen. And so we have a new obligation to go and tell people of this life change that we've experienced. Can I pray for you right where you're at? Father, right now in these closing moments, Lord, we ask ourselves the question, whose pattern are we following? Are we following people that are actually enemies of the cross? Are we following people that are closer to you? Father, right now we ask ourselves the question, who's following me? God, let our lives be like those that follow the pattern that Paul set for us, a pattern of holiness, a pattern of consecration, a pattern of devotion, a pattern of worship, a pattern of sacrifice. Lord, get our eyes off of the things of this world and Lord, follow the pattern that you set for us in your word. Father, I thank you that you're speaking to all of our hearts. And Lord, as we move forward, Lord, let all of our decisions be made that we're a citizen of the kingdom. We're a citizen of heaven, that our nationality has been transferred, that God, heaven's now our home and we're just living here. Father, right now, if every person in here that they may not know you, Lord, I know today there's some people in here that they've not been walking with you. They've not served you. If you're hearing the sound of my voice and you say, Crystal, I don't know Jesus. Or you might say, Crystal, honestly, I prayed that prayer before, but I'm not living like it. If you'd like to give your life to Jesus today, maybe for the first time, or maybe you want to rededicate your life and become a citizen of heaven today, would you lift your hand just all over this place? Thank you. I see you. I see you. I see you. Amen. Amen. Can we pray together as a church family? Say this, Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Take my sins, and by your grace, I take your righteousness. I make you the Lord of my life. I give you all that I am. I hold nothing back. In Jesus' name. And every person who believed it said, amen. Come on, can we give it up for every person who just prayed that prayer? Well, the same way as when you come into America, you hit customs immediately. We want you to hit customs. And it's by doing this, texting the keyword decided to 903-634-7135. A member of our team would love to celebrate you and give you everything you need as you begin this journey of faith. Amen.
Thank you so much for listening to this message. A special thanks to those who give generously to One Church. It's because of you that lives are being impacted all over the world. If you enjoyed this podcast, please hit subscribe for more messages like this. Share this with a friend, post it on social media, and be sure to tag us at I Am One Church. Thanks again for listening.